Lord, it is good for us to be here. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Just before the priest consumes the precious blood at Mass, he prays from the psalm, "What return shall I make to the Lord for all he hath given me? I will take the chalice of salvation, and I will call upon the name of the Lord." If it is rare today for us to hear a thank you, imagine how the good Lord must feel. Now, we may be in that relatively small number of those who remember the golden words of courtesy, but the rest of the time, what's the status of our gratitude attitude, as they say? I mean, our remembrance of benefits received. It's short indeed. And Almighty God, knowing our weakness of heart and of head, he gives us a remedy, a way to remember, to reimburse, and to pay him back perfectly. How? By offering and receiving again and again his only Son in the great thanks sacrament, which is the Holy Eucharist. Say, one of you were to invite me over tonight for an evening of Irish music and a perfect dinner. And then I think to myself afterwards, however could I thank them? Then I think, I know. Then I show up at your door, Monday night too. Well, not for men, but for God, yes. All is in readiness, and he only asks that you come back for the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Its perfect participation is Holy Communion, whereby we pay the whole of our debt to God, who is, as St. Francis says, my God and my all. For all that he has given me, he sets me up here to receive more, and gratitude is the key to the door where this delightful feast awaits. The Mass, if I understand, I would think little indeed of any sacrifice by which I could purchase the happiness of assisting at this perfect one. For us, the Mass is mostly a question of, well, it's a bit of discipline, some distance, but in a comfy car. Organization, mostly, I think, of our time, and all of that to be aware of that sense of obligation to the Almighty and his commandments. But for many, you know, it was not so, not nearly so easy. Turn with me today to the Green Island for an example of gratitude for the gift of the Mass. Through it all, the Irish always said, "Lord, it is good for us to be here." They suffered 4 centuries, those Catholics did, under the boot of the English, for the Mass, for Mary, and for the Catholic faith. The worst of the persecution came in the 17th century when Ireland was invaded by the Puritan fanatic Oliver Cromwell, whose stern, impassioned stress beat a thoroughfare for heresy and rendered Ireland a wilderness with such bloody cruelty. But on the brighter side, we're talking about the Irish after all, I'm thinking of the story of 2 missionaries, 2 Capuchin fathers. At that same time, a Father Michael, who amidst persecution was followed by his people from place to place, so that they could receive the sacraments, so much so that wherever he said Mass, it was as though it were Christmas or Easter. So many flocked to the sacraments. And all of this only outdoors in some hidden place. Now you know how cold and raw it's been this spring. You know how when it gets rainy or snowy or icy, attendance dips a bit. But imagine, can you imagine, any of you waiting in a field for the priest to come and offer Mass in the open air? But Father Michael said Mass that way because he figured that if he said Mass in a house, he could be easily trapped by the English, and the owner would be caught and punished, as well as the congregation, and he did not want to take the risk. But withal, he managed to offer two Masses a day in the very, very early morning, and always with faithful. Such hardship, though, he suffered, as he confessed once to his father superior, this is a quote, that at times he has only water with which to slake his thirst, and for an Irishman. But I think they were talking about tea. Still, they said of him, he enjoys good health, and he looks quite sleek and comely, even like another Daniel. Or another Capuchin father, Stephen, same time, 1650s, he was in charge of 20 villages, and he would preach daily, and he would always give out many Holy Communions at his Masses. He was an old sick man doing that. And finally, towards the end of his life, he went to visit his two sisters, whom he had not seen in 29 years, but word got out that he was in the house, and he had to flee in the rain, and his sister led him through the swamp, Irish call it a bog, to a deserted place. The rushes, he said, were higher than his knees. And finally, he reached a hospitable little Irish cottage with, of course, a leaky roof. But he was glad just to lie down in his wet clothes and sleep, as he phrased it, on rushes, all water under. And the next day was Sunday, and he was preparing to offer the Mass, and despite it all, he was feeling vaguely guilty because he hadn't had a chance to notify the people in the area that there would be Mass, but they somehow sensed it, and there were little clumps of people going from place to place all around asking after the Mass. And they found him, but the cottage he was staying in was too small. And so that flock of hungry souls, all of them, men and women together, on the Lord's Day, worked to dismantle the whole of the front of the cottage so that everyone could see and assist at the Holy Sacrifice. The memory of those times is of a heroism which shames us, even as it is our pride. The splendid devotion of priests, the wonderful attachment of the people, their loyalty to the Mass, during a time, the Protestant invasion, when fully 40% of the Irish died because of the English. And after the initial massacres were over, Cromwell told the survivors, look, you don't have to become a Protestant, and you don't have to come to our church. But no more talk of the Mass. The Mass must be abolished. And they would not. And the Mass survived. Remember Luther, we spoke of him last week? One of his co-heresiarchs was a writer called Melanchthon. And at some point, a low point for the Protestant revolt, he was despairing. He wrote, "The world was so attached to the Mass that apparently nothing could tear it from men's hearts. Would it were so even for us. Were it not for the Mass, however would we thank God for all he has given us? But amongst these benefits is the miracle of the altar itself. in which we are privileged, like those three at the Transfiguration, to climb the mountain, to see the white light of Christ's divinity, to enter into the cloud of the canon of the Mass, silent, the greatest gift of all, leaves us speechless, the silence of the consecration. It is God's Son who has come to adore and to thank and to supplicate and to satisfy on our behalf the four great debts we creatures have to the Creator. And there at the altar at the mountain, we hear the words of the Father, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Peter wanted to talk, but we know better. The Mass, unlike the new version, which is no Mass, is just a bunch of talk. But the Mass is quiet, but it is our eloquent way of saying thank you, or as the Irish would phrase it, thanks a million. It leaves us tongue-tied, but in the Mass, we need say nothing. Think of the Jews of old who followed Jesus for days just to get a glimpse of him, to catch a word, like that flock of Catholics following after Father Michael from place to place. And we here, like them, have Jesus Christ, his body and his blood and his soul and his divinity, and so easily. And should we waver, as we will, or doubt, or wander, then again, he takes us aside quietly and shows us himself, shining bright, snow light, and yet such a restful shadow as he casts over us on our Thabor, as he strengthens us against any future sorrow or scandal. Like the apostles in the gospel, because of what we see, this is what God shows to us at the Mass. And what does the priest show God? The most sublime act of homage possible, holding the body and the blood of the Redeemer over the altar, suspended between heaven and earth, he presents the great gratitude act, the source of all honor and glory, with which the silence of the canon concludes. And we, who, despite all of our material wealth, possess nothing of our own, we give him back to the Father. This is our worship, and this is our life. However could we thank him except in offering him again in the bright, quiet beauty of the Mass? It is good for us to be here. And then when I look around, what return shall I make to the Lord for all he hath given me? I will take the chalice of salvation. God bless you. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.